You know what else is back from the 80s?
What?
The Sam the Record Man sign.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I wrote about this a little while ago, and I said something to the effect of Ryerson wanting to get out of its obligation to post the sign someplace. And then I got a very nice email from somebody at Ryerson Public Relations who said that despite what you read in the media, it was always in their plans to resurrect the sign someplace.
No, you know, I don't know about that. But you know what I do know? I've got Sam Snyderman's son's phone number. Shall we give him a call and find out how it all went down?
Yes, please. I would like to know what's going on.
Hi, it's Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. It's Michael Hainsworth and Alan Cross at the Geeks and Beats podcast. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. Appreciate you calling.
So give us a sense here as to what went down, because Ryerson's telling us that they always had the intention to put the sign back up. What's the real story?
The real story is they're still obliged to put the signs back up on the original site. There was a decision made at council last month, and for all intents and purposes, the original deal is still in place, and it's being reviewed by city staff, and I've always been on record to say that the sign should go back on the original site, and best I know, that's what's going to still continue.
Well, it should, because the signs on Yonge Street were iconic in the sense that anybody who ever came to Toronto for the first time and went down to Yonge Street, one of the first things they'd look for was the spinning signs. And I am one of those people. I was in Toronto for 2 days before I went downtown, and I had to see those signs. So it's part of the fabric of that strip, and I think that they should be preserved and considered to be, of historical value.
So, Bobby, what you're saying is that they need to go right back to the original location. They can't move them somewhere else. They can't put them inside in a small display. It has to go right where it was?
Well, they had two options. One was to put it on the original site, either on the south side of Gould or the west side of Yonge, or they had an option to put it on the library, which is a building which is directly behind the Yonge and Gould corner. So they still could do that. As far as I'm concerned, that's really the only options, which is the agreement that Ryerson actually made with the City of Toronto.
Tell me a bit about the history of the sign itself. Do you recall how it all came about?
I was part of that, actually. I know it very well. The family purchased the store. It was I think, called Collis Furniture, which was at 347 Yonge Street. And originally, my father and uncle, who were the original owners of the store, had a couple of interesting elements on the fascia. There was windows on the second floor, and on one side of the windows, they had a thermometer. And on the other side, I think they had a clock. That was around 1961 or 2. Then around 1969-70, they spoke with the Markle brothers, and Jack and Sam Markle were very involved with neon and art, and they had an art gallery which produced neon artworks. And so they met with the Markle brothers and at their factory, and there was a small prototype that was produced of this, you know, massive spinning record. And the problem was trying to determine how you were going to get it to spin. And they originally had incandescent lights in it, probably 1,000 incandescent lights. And it was a nightmare, you know, if they had to ever replace them. So they went to the neon. And there wasn't a lot of difficulty in producing it once they decided to go ahead and the record companies were interested. And it was very unique for the time and had created quite an impact. So that's the history of that.
Hmm. And what year was that?
That was 71, pretty soon after that.
Do you have any idea what the original cost was?
Around $20,000 or $30,000 at that time. You know, that was considered, you know, incredible amount of money for a sign.
Now, was that just the one sign? Because ultimately, there was a mirror image of it as well,
yeah,
that was put up beside it.
The original sign was at 347 Yonge, and then when we acquired the property at 349 Yonge, we put up a sign that was, as you said, a mirror image, but it was just slightly smaller because the fascia was a little bit smaller.
So will both of those go back up on the fascia?
They go together. So there's the two spinning signs, and then there's the Yes, This Is the Sam the Record Man logo, and then there was three letters on top with incandescent bulbs, individual letters that spelled Sam, S-A-M.
Right. Now, this sign is currently being stored in a tractor trailer somewhere north of Toronto, correct?
Yeah, I read that. The sign company that works for Ryerson took them down and is storing them.
Okay, keep it safe. I'm looking forward to having it put back up because, again, I think it's an important part of the cultural fabric of Yonge Street and the music community, the music history of Toronto, and I'm glad this is going to work out the way it is.
Do you think this would have gone back up if it wasn't for the music community coming together?
I don't think it would, quite honestly. My brother and I, you know, Jason, were sort of caught off guard, just assuming that the signs were going to go back up because of the, you know, agreements that had been made. And the community, you know, led by Nicholas Jennings and the music industry, were able to produce so much support and get so much support from Canadian artists it really resonated with the councillors. There were a lot of debate that took place at council last month, and one of the key points that were made by many of the councillors was how many of their constituents were writing in and saying, you know, this has to go back up. And a lot of times, individual councillors in their writings, you know, get to make decisions. In this case, though, the entire council felt that they had to have a voice because people from all over the city and, well, the country were writing and saying, you know, this is such an important part of the fabric of Toronto's culture.
I talked to an awful lot of people, and they were mad. They were genuinely angry at the prospect of these signs never being put up again.
It would be hard to find too many people, you know, that would disagree with that. You know, I was sort of thinking a little bit, you know, before you called about, you know, well, what can I say that originally has some, you know, merit? And the thing that you said, you know, right at the start was like so relevant is that, well, the signs just really look nice. You know, they made you feel good. You know, it's sort of, you know, there aren't that many symbols in any community, you know, which are identifiable. You know, these signs were really so important. And things which people really look forward to seeing and showing visitors from out of town. So I haven't heard an argument as to why they shouldn't go up, really.
Bobby, great having you with us.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.